the city? No, to shake off a fever which was surely working its way into my system. It had already got a grip upon me. My physician kept insisting that when the circulation was upset and irregular, disturbing the natural poise, the disease was underway. I therefore ordered my carriage to be made ready at once, and insisted on departing in spite of my wife Paulina's efforts to stop me. For I remembered Master Gallio's words, when he began to develop a fever in Achaia, and took ship at once, insisting that the disease was not of the body, but of the place. That is what I remarked to my dear Paulina, who always urges me to take care of my health. I know that her very life breath comes and goes with my own, and I am beginning, in my solicitude for her, to be solicitous for myself. And, although old age has made me braver to bear many things, I am gradually losing this boon that old age bestows. For it comes into my mind that in this old man there is a youth also, and youth needs tenderness. Therefore, since I cannot prevail upon her to love me any more heroically, she prevails upon me to cherish myself more carefully. For one must indulge genuine emotions. Sometimes, even in spite of weighty reasons, the breath of life must be called back and kept at our very lips, even at the price of great suffering, for the sake of those whom we hold dear. Because the good man should not live as long as it pleases him, but as long as he ought. He who does not value his wife or his friend highly enough to linger longer in life, he who obstinately persists in dying, is a voluptuary. The soul should also enforce this command upon itself whenever the needs of one's relatives require. It should pause and humor those near and dear, not only when it desires, but even when it has begun to die. It gives proof of a great heart to return to life for the sake of others, and noble men have often done this. But this procedure also, I believe, indicates the highest type of kindness, that although the greatest advantage of old age is the opportunity to be more negligent regarding self-preservation, and to use life more adventurously, one should watch over one's old age with still greater care, if one knows that such action is pleasing, useful, or desirable in the eyes of a person whom one holds dear. This is also a source of no mean joy and profit, for what is sweeter than to be so valued by one's wife that one becomes more valuable to oneself for this reason? Hence, my dear Paulina is able to make me responsible not only for her fears, but also for my own. So, you are curious to know the outcome of this prescription of travel? As soon as I escaped from the oppressive atmosphere of the city, and from that awful odor of reeking kitchens which, when in use, pour forth a ruinous mess of steam and soot, I perceived at once that my health was mending. And how much stronger do you think I felt when I reached my vineyards, being, so to speak, let out to pasture? I regularly walked into my meals. So I am my old self again, feeling now no wavering languor in my system and no sluggishness in my brain. I am beginning to work with all my energy. But the mere place avails little for this purpose unless the mind is fully master of itself, and can, at its pleasure, find seclusion even in the midst of business. The man, however, who is always selecting resorts and hunting for leisure, will find something to distract his mind in every place. Socrates is reported to have replied, when a certain person complained of having received no benefit from his travels, "It serves you right. You traveled in your own company." Oh, what a blessing it would be for some men to wander away from themselves. As it is, they cause themselves vexation, worry, demoralization, and fear. What profit is there in crossing the sea and in going from one city to another? If you would escape your troubles, you need not another place, but another personality. Perhaps you have reached Athens, or perhaps Rhodes. Choose any state you fancy. How does it matter what its character may be? You will be bringing to it your own. Suppose that you hold wealth to be a good. Poverty will then distress you, and, which is most pitiable, it will be an imaginary poverty. For you may be rich, and nevertheless, because your neighbor is richer, you suppose yourself to be poor exactly by the same